Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group, offers securities and investment advisory services through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. FRS Financial Group is a separate entity from Waddell & Reed. Insurance products are offered through insurance companies with which Waddell & Reed has sales arrangements. The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any financial product or service mentioned. Waddell & Reed does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a professional prior to making any financial decisions. Any opinions expressed are those of Rick Stevens and may not be the opinions of Waddell & Reed. The information is subject to change based on market and other conditions. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I am Rick Stevens, I am your host, and this is your show. Remember, if you've got any questions that you'd like to have answered, if you've got a topic you'd like us to discuss on a future show, feel free to give me a call, 719-500-8700. You can send me an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. You can also go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Go to that top right-hand corner, hit that contact tab, send us a message, send us your question. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week in studio, we have Kyle Fisk, part of that Fisk team at Pintrust Mortgage. Kyle, how are we doing today?
Good morning. Glad to be back.
So we're going to open up the segment here. We've got about 7 minutes left. Go ahead with the disclosure. I'll be back to close out the segment.
Exactly. All material presented is for educational purposes and is not an advertisement to extend credit. Not all applicants are eligible for loan products offered. All loan programs, terms, and conditions, including that wonderful thing we call interest rates, are subject to change without notice. I'm Kyle with the Fisk team at Pintrust Mortgage Group, NMLS number 1949057, fiskmortgage.com.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. That's all the time we've got for today. Woo! And I thought my disclosure stuff was usually long. Kyle, it's been a couple months. Any fun stuff going on in mortgages these days?
Oh, it's a journey.
That's probably the best way to describe it.
There's
right?
a lot going on in the overall economic picture as we see what's going on with inflation, with what's going on in the stocks mm-hmm. and in the bonds market, things going on the international scene in Ukraine, things going on the national scene with the freight shipping, and just lots of different things, price of crude oil going up. All of those are these big macroeconomic factors that end up being a domino effect into you and I's world when we look
at
investments,
indeed.
Real estate, and mortgages.
Yep, absolutely. All kinds of different little pieces and all the little gears turning interchangeably and making weird stuff happen. Welcome to the new reality, right? New reality, at least at this point in time. You know, one of the things that I know I hear a lot of folks talking about, whether that's folks on radio shows, TV shows, just folks that I run into, two words come up all the time: affordable housing, right? And there's some articles that you had sent me the other day, and reading through, very interesting things in there. One of the pieces that got brought out was there was a survey done. 81% of consumers, right, say that they can afford less than half the homes that are out there for sale in their particular markets right now. So if most of the people, 81%, can't afford what's for sale, who's buying those houses?
Well, you know, everything's becoming more expensive. With all this inflation, a picture is now only worth 800 words.
Oh, I believe that.
And there's a new thing on Kelly Blue Book. If you go to sell a used car, there's a new box to check to see how valuable your car is worth, and that's how full the gas tank is.
Ooh, that comes in handy. That comes in handy.
There's no doubt. Listen, everything's becoming more expensive, and home affordability is something that's becoming an issue. You're seeing rising prices, very high demand for housing, and now upward pressure on interest rates that's making things more expensive. Mm-hmm, now, fundamentally, mm-hmm. this is an imbalance in housing supply and demand. We're going to get to that later in the show in another segment. We're going to talk about new home construction and the lack of housing supply. But when you don't have enough of something, the cost of that something goes up. And we're seeing that right now in the housing market. Now, that said, there is an opportunity for some buyers. Builder sentiment is actually cooling off a little bit.
Wow.
This week, the National Association of Home Builders released its Housing Market Index. Now, that measures builder confidence on a scale of 1 to 100. Mm-hmm. Anything over 50 is a growth market. Okay.
Right.
We've been up in the 70s. We're down to 69, much worse than expectations. So they're just not quite as confident as they were. We're starting to see more incentive, more concessions, opportunities for maybe FHA buyers or CHAFA buyers that maybe wouldn't have gotten their contracts accepted. There might be some more willingness to do that. So there is an opportunity in the new home construction space that I think is important to point out. Something else to think about is that in today's market in El Paso County, just in the month of May, I just saw new numbers through May 16th, 26% of all closings were cash buyers.
Wow.
And so that, and that's up significantly. And that, of course, that person doesn't care what the interest rate is.
Exactly.
Right. It doesn't
affect
their payment. I'm buying this house with cash. So there's a lot of different pieces that go into that. As you know, Pentrust is a preferred lender with about a dozen builders across the Front Range. We work with guys like Challenger Homes and Classic and Vantage. And there is an opportunity in that space. So if somebody's looking and they're like, how do I not be one of that 81%? How do I find something that works for me? If you are just looking at resale, because that number you were looking at was a resale number of that 81% only be able to afford that bottom half. Now, new home construction is a different beast. You have different tax rates. You might look at different prices, but it's brand new construction. It comes with a warranty. There's advantages and disadvantages, but it's something that consumers should be looking at.
So tell me a little bit then with the first time home buyers. Right, because oftentimes they're first-time home buyers. They've got these grand ideas, right? What I would love to have versus what I can afford to have. What are some of those tips that you would give to folks who are in that first-time home buyers part of the world?
Well, there are some basics, and you're going to hear this from anybody. If you go Google first-time home buyer, pay down your debts, save up your down payment, increase your credit score. All of those are the basics to better improve your scenario. And yes, if you have a bunch of debt and you're trying to spend a larger percentage of your income on housing, it's going to mess with what we call that debt-to-income ratio, that DTI. So getting rid of some of that other consumer debt is a great first step. But let's go beyond that, because that's the easy part. Those are the mechanics. The real tip here, change your mindset. Change your perspective. Think differently. Every study that's been done out there, all the data suggests that the number one thing you can do to change your financial picture down the road, when we talk about transformational, generational wealth building, is buy a home.
Yes.
Now, there are lots of other steps, but step one is always buy a home. So let's not be entitled. We don't have to have it all. This is your first home.
I just need 4,500 square feet for my first house, Kyle.
I just sold a guy his fourth forever home.
Okay,
so
I love that.
It doesn't work that way, right? So maybe it doesn't have the view you wanted or the right backyard. Maybe it's not the neighborhood you wanted. Maybe it's not as big as you wanted. Recognize, let's get what we can. Let's find something that meets our needs today, fits a budget and a payment that we can manage today, and recognize we could sell this house in a year or two, upgrade, move up. You know, it's fascinating. I know we're almost out of time for this segment, but as we look at what the mindset of some guys, we'll talk about in the next segment, of how mindset changes your reality.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And there's a reason it's called a starter home, right? Reason it's called a starter home, not I'm buying my first one forever here.
Well, and recognize these first-time home buyers, as your income goes up, your upwardly mobile income, that fixed payment's going to remain the same, and that percentage of your overall housing expense actually goes down over time.
Lovely. Love it, love it, love it. Well, folks, we are up against that first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that new construction world. And yes, we are going to talk about having a little bit different mindset as it comes to buying those homes. So stick around. You do not want to miss where we are headed next. Stick around, everybody. So what's on your mind these days? Is it your retirement? Maybe it's paying for college. Maybe you've got a life insurance or a long-term care insurance question. Folks, this is Rick Stevens with FRS Financial Group, and we're here to answer those questions that you have. We'll walk with you all steps along the way, figuring out what is in your best interest, what is your goal, and what are the tools we need to get you there. FRS Financial Group, where we put your needs first. Give us a call at 719-500-8700. Well, folks, thanks for sticking around with us through that break. Rick Stevens here, your host for Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. We're talking with Kyle Fisk, part of that Fisk team at Pintrust Mortgage. And Kyle, when we went into the break, you were talking a little bit about the mindset of that home buyer, that idea that, you know, maybe the first house we buy isn't our forever home, and you've got a story for us here.
Well, even whether you're a first-time home buyer or not, thinking about that perspective of, and what am I willing to sacrifice? What am I willing to give up in order to build future wealth and potential, to really do that transformational, generational wealth building, and looking not just at my life, but my kids' life, my grandkids' life? What does that look like? Have a friend owns a really nice house in a really nice neighborhood that you would recognize, has a ton of equity in it. Buying another home as a primary residence, less money. Mm-hmm. They're going to move into that. They're probably planning on moving two more times. They're going to rent the really expensive house. Now, most people don't think that way. They think, I like my house. I like my neighborhood. This is comfortable. But this is a guy who has changed his mindset. And he said, you know what? I know I've achieved a certain level of success. He makes very good money, relatively speaking. But this is a guy who said, I still don't make what I want to make in order to really achieve my long-term financial goals. So I'm willing to pack myself up and move this year and maybe move again next year in order to, all of a sudden, now I've got two investment properties that I've bought as primary residences. Again, he's thinking very, very differently. And that's the challenge, I think, for everybody in this affordability question. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up? Let's get you into a house that, yeah, you might have to stretch to do it today, but you're going to look back in 5 years and say, that was a really good decision. People who had this conversation, we were talking about housing affordability a year ago.
Yes.
Today, literally 12 months ago, you can now afford $40,000 less in-house.
Wow. Wow. Just in a single
year. Just in a single year.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, the idea here, you know, in that affordability piece, and we've talked the supply and demand side, one of that, the pieces here on the supply side isn't just current homes, it's also the new construction side of things, and that's actually had some changes going on, not just in the last couple years, but for a couple decades, right?
Yeah, going back 15 plus years to, you know, the Great Recession, 2006, 2007, and 2008. You know, before the Great Recession, new home construction, the ratio of new home construction to population growth was 2-to-1, meaning two people were added to the population for every new home built. That ratio today, 5-to-1.
Wow.
We have a problem. The Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, what we call Freddie Mac, we've all heard Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, right? Those are acronyms. It's a publicly traded government-sponsored enterprise, and their mission is to provide liquidity and stability and affordability to the U.S. housing market. That's their mission, right? Now, they released a report talking about how the ongoing housing shortage is large and rising. Here's their quote. Our estimates suggest that the shortage has increased 52% from 2.5 million in 2018 to 3.8 million in 2021.
Wow.
And
wow.
Given the high demand and need for more space, we expect this shortage to continue. So get this. We've gone from 2.5 million to 3.8 million houses in deficit.
Wow.
Now, let's think about this. In 2022, there are going to be 1.4 million households created in America. At the same time, we will build nationally about 1.7 million new houses. That's single family, attached, all starts. Remember, we lose about 100,000 houses every year to replacement, tear down, aging, et cetera. So a net positive of 200,000 housing units into a deficit of 3 million.
Wow. Wow. When we go back to those economic laws, right, supply and demand, they still work. They still happen in this scenario.
And let's remember that all real estate is local. So I just gave you a bunch of national numbers. What does that mean for listeners here in Southern Colorado? What does it mean if you live in Monument or Pueblo or Fountain or out on the Powers Corridor on the west side? In El Paso County, we grew 17% in population from 2010 to 2020. We added 108,000 people in our population.
Wow.
Guess how many homes we built?
Let's see. Purely a wild guess, 35,000.
Less than 30,000.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Less than 30,000 homes built in the last decade. Now, it is ramping up. You and I were looking at some studies this week how the pace of construction is increasing.
Right.
We are trying to solve the problem, but average cost of materials, not including labor, which is a big part of construction costs, average cost of materials in a house is up 19% year over year.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's...
We've got the supply chain shortages. We've got pricing increases. So we absolutely have, when we look at this affordability question, when we look at this, there is a big element that says that we've got an imbalance in supply and demand. And it's Econ 101. When I don't have enough of something, the cost of that something goes up. And we are seeing
indeed.
That. And so I think that's the real question as we look at forecast out 10 years. What are we doing? And it, again, on the local level, when we look at what it takes to do, hey, are we getting rid of government regulations to allow better and more efficient development? Are we willing to go for higher density housing, which really is part of the answer, even
right.
though none of us want it in our neighborhood.
Right.
But
right.
we recognize that on that same parcel of land, I can chop it up into acre lots and put 10 houses, or I can do a bunch of condos and townhomes and get, you know, 100 people into that same
right.
acreage. And what does that look like? And these are the questions that are facing our communities, that are facing yep. lawmakers and bureaucrats and administrators and all that to say, how do we solve this problem? It isn't just the greedy real estate world that wants to make more money on their houses.
Right, right, right. And one of those other pieces, too, that we still have to consider that we don't always, it's not like we're living somewhere in the Midwest or the East Coast where we've got plenty of water. Right. In the high deserts, we've got some water issues and that happens. That's going to bump up against that population piece as well.
You're in the top three places for military retirees. You're mm-hmm. in the top five for retirement overall. OK, population growth across the Front Range. If you look at Fort Collins to Pueblo has exploded.
Yes.
Yes. There are a lot of transplants. You know, but it also is interesting. We talked about those cash buyers that sell a home in another market, mm-hmm. make a lot of money, come here, buy with cash. A lot of people that are in El Paso County actually make a job, make an income somewhere else.
Yes.
Right? So when we
yes.
talk about median incomes of Colorado Springs, sometimes that doesn't factor in the guy who is remote working for a company in Massachusetts.
Right.
Right? Because he's
right.
not being reported as an income here because it's not a job in Colorado Springs.
Exactly.
So these are the factors that we really have to think about. And let's remember when we talk about these median numbers, a median means half are under this and half are over this.
Yes.
It's a lot different than, say, average.
Correct.
And just
correct.
So those are some of the important things that we've got to keep in mind as we talk about this. At the end of the day, here's what we know. And I know we're running up against another break, but let's say we only have 100 homes for sale and we have 300 buyers. Say interest rates have gone up and prices have gone up and I just whacked out 150 homeowners
mm-hmm.
or 180 homeowners or 190
yes.
homeowners. I still have more than 100 people interested in my 100 homes.
Yes.
And that's why we're not going to hit a bubble. That's why there's still strong demand. And while we are seeing the rate of appreciation, the growth of values slow down,
mm-hmm.
it's not declining. There's a big, big difference.
Yes.
We were at 12, 18, 20%. Those are coming down to some more reasonable numbers, but we are not in a declining environment. Prices are still going up. Like we just said, if you bought a home a year ago versus today,
yes.
$40,000, you can afford, same scenario, you can afford $40,000 less in house today.
Wow. Folks, we are up against that final break in the show today. When we come back, we are continuing to talk with Kyle, part of the Fisk team at Pintrust Mortgage. Stick around. You don't want to miss where we finish today. Stick around, everybody. So what's on your mind these days? Is it your retirement? Maybe it's paying for college. Maybe you've got a life insurance or a long-term care insurance question. Folks, this is Rick Stevens with FRS Financial Group. And we're here to answer those questions that you have. We'll walk with you all steps along the way, figuring out what is in your best interest, what is your goal, and what are the tools we need to get you there. FRS Financial Group, where we put your needs first. Give us a call at 719-500-8700. Well, folks, thanks for sticking around with us through that final break in today's show. We are talking about all things real estate. We're talking the supply and demand side of things. We're talking the mortgage side of things. Anything real estate related, we're talking today with Kyle Fisk, part of that Fisk team at Pintrust Mortgage. And Kyle, I want to finish today's show looking at the thing that everybody continues to talk about, right? The world of the interest rate. We've talked about it more than once in the last few months, how mortgage rates are not exactly tied directly to the Fed funds rate and what the Fed funds rate really is and what it does. But there is some indirect work that happens in there. We've seen multiple rate hikes by the Fed this year already. We're still expecting more hikes in the next 12 to 18 months. We saw interest rates at the beginning of the year shoot way up really fast. I know there's volatility right now. What does some of that volatility look like? Because in the mortgage world, it's kind of, if you can picture it like it is in the tax world, there are steps or there are brackets where different rates fall in. What's the volatility that's going on in your world these days?
Yeah, the number one question we get every day is, what's the interest rate today? And we've said it on this show before, but it's worth repeating. There are about 26 different factors that go into determining your interest rate.
Yes.
Your credit score, your loan to value, your debt to income, what type of property you're buying, where that property is located, single family versus a condo. All these factors go into determining what interest rate you are offered. So if you have questions about your particular situation, give us a call, shoot us an email. We'd love to help really walk you through your specific scenario.
You can't just give this big blanket statement? It's actually personal?
But also remember, it's sometimes people get uber focused in on rate as opposed to what is that payment? And how do I adjust that payment? Do I make a larger down payment? Do I buy a little less house? Do I look at a different scenario? Do I look at an adjustable rate because I'm going to only be here for 3 years because then I'm going to get moved? I'm military. I'm only going to be here for a season, right?
Right.
These are the things that we really want to look at because at the end of the day, all this relates now to a monthly payment. And that's what actually has to fit in a budget. And that's what we say all the time. Our job as your loan officer isn't to talk you into or talk you out of any particular program or product or rate buy down or whatnot. Our job is to give you good information because at the end of the day, I don't have to pay that mortgage.
Right.
You do.
Right.
And so let's talk about payment first. Now, that being said, when we look at you, like you mentioned, big upward pressure on rates. We went from 3 to 6 in the last 150 days, give or take, for that conventional 30-year. We've doubled the interest rate. Now, here's what we know about the law of big numbers, though. Doubling from 3 to 6 makes it really hard to double from 6 to 12.
Yes, right? Yes, indeed.
Everybody's got this fear factor saying this rapid acceleration. Well, the more you accelerate, at some point you force a leveling off.
Yes.
And that's what we've been seeing now for the last, you know, month or so. Like you talked about these brackets. So there's these different ceilings and floors in these interest rates. So we see a lot of day-to-day volatility within that bracket, within that step on any given day. The other day, we had 3 pricing changes in the same 8-hour workday.
Wow.
Okay, highly volatile. But it was all within that floor to ceiling, the step we were in.
Right.
Where it really gets tricky is when you break through one of those floors and you drop another, right? Interest rates go up another quarter point or another half point.
Right.
We saw some really big jumps early in this process, and now we're seeing lots of volatility within those stair steps. And then, like you said, what are the economic big dominoes that tip over? When we look at the federal fund rate, when we look at inflation, right? Inflation is still, we're looking at 8.3% annualized inflation. And we've talked about this before, but this is what happens when you dump $2 trillion into an economy.
Yes.
Everybody has more money. The demand for goods and services go up. We have supply chain issues because of a global pandemic restricting supply.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't have enough things and we have too much demand. Prices go up. All right, the average cost of goods in the average family budget for living expenses has gone up in the last year $500 a month. I mean, that's a chunk
Change. That's $6,000 for the year, and not everybody got a $6,000 raise last year.
Correct. And so these are the factors that you really want to look at. At the end of the day, you know, I think one of our jobs is to help be a teacher to say, yeah, there are a lot of macroeconomic factors in play. There are experts that spend all day just running these numbers,
right,
and they still get it wrong.
Yes.
So the real question when it comes back down to it is, wait a minute, what's your situation? Let's take a deep breath and let's say, what's the house payment you can afford? Because back to changing our mindset, back to, could we get into this house right now at this price point? And yeah, maybe it is a higher interest rate than what you were anticipating, but hey, rates go up, rates go down. Let's not view this as a 360-month mortgage. Maybe we should view it as a 24-month mortgage. Because at some point, those rates are going to change. Are we going to go back to 2s and 3s and artificially pandemic-induced low rate? Probably not, but who knows?
Right.
But what I can tell you is as rates continue to go up at some point, it does come back down. This is a cycle. We've seen it over and over and over again. Four times in the last 75 years, we have seen a cycle that we're in right now.
Yes.
Federal, the inflation skyrockets. The Fed raises the Fed rate to combat inflation. Over time, we get a control of inflation. Inflation comes back down. You know what comes back down with inflation? The interest rate.
Yes.
So, again, do we know when that's going to happen? No. But historical data would suggest we're in the middle of one of those curves right now. So that's helpful to understand where we are. And that's one of the reasons why we've been really encouraging folks, let's look at those maybe adjustable rate mortgages or low cost mortgages. Let's spend very little money right now, because if we are going to refinance, or that's the intention, like, hey, when rates come back down, my plan is not to keep this mortgage for 20 years, but I'm going to, in 18 months or 2 years or 3 years, I'm going to plan on refinancing.
Right.
Then it changes how we view what's our plan today. And those are some of the strategies we're bringing to buyers that are helping get them into houses, even though affordability is tough, even though prices are going up. It's helping people get in line for those new construction homes. Go put a contract on a new construction home right now with the rising costs. Guess what's happening? People are walking. They put a contract down today.
Mm-hmm.
That house isn't done for 4 months, 6 months, whatever the case may be. They bought it at today's price. They move in and get a mortgage in December, and they're building the same house three streets over for 20 grand more, 40 grand more, whatever that number is.
Yes.
It's more than what it was today. So you're walking into equity. You're building wealth.
Yes.
You're getting into a situation where even if you only keep that house 2 years and sell it, even if you decide to do something different or refinance, you're still better off than where you were today. So maybe that's a good place to leave it for today of let's think differently. Let's change our perspective. Let's get out of this fear mongering and watching too much CNN and the lack of affordable housing and I can't afford a house and interest rates are too high. And let's get back to your situation and say, no, actually, you can buy a house. You can change your future. You can change your perspective.
Awesome stuff, Kyle. If folks have those questions on how do I change my thinking, what can I get into, how do they get in touch with you guys?
We always love to have that first cup of coffee. Come to sit down in person, over the phone, on a Zoom call, whatever's best for you. We'd love to connect, answer questions, guide you through the process. You can always reach us at fiskmortgage.com. You can also fill out an application there or give us a call. Shoot us a text, 719-277-9238 or fiskmortgage.com.
Awesome. Kyle, thanks for joining us this week, folks. Tune in again next week when we will be talking about your money, because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.